During World War II, there were hundreds of Native American servicemen that played an instrumental part in victories. You know what they were called? Code talkers. Because, you know, in battle, intercepting the enemy's communications was a sure way to make sure you defeated the enemy. If I knew the play you were going to run and I could be there ready to ambush, I'm going to have victory. The problem during World War I and World War II was communications were not that complicated. And it was easy to detect the enemy's code, the Allies' code. So these Native Americans, they were using their indigenous language. And they were using that as code talkers. And they were transmitting these messages between the different service organizations for the Allies, the good guys for you young folks. You know, at the Battle for Iwo Jima, there were 6 Marine Navajo code talkers. They transmitted over 800 messages without error and without detection. They ensured victory in the Battle of Iwo Jima. You know that today, that Navajo code has never been broken? I'm sharing that with you to share this. The one thing the Lord put on my heart is that God is the decoder for unlocking the mysteries of the parables of Jesus Christ. If you want to know the deep mysteries of God's kingdom, you must first know Jesus, who reveals those truths through the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about Jesus the storyteller, Jesus the parable teller. And you're going to be like, well, why did he talk in parables? Well, guess what? The Bible answers that question. Why didn't he just say the things we can understand? Guess what? The Bible explains that. But I want you to understand, because you know, 35% of all Jesus' teaching were in parables. And I'm going to give you the parable that unlocks all the other parables. Even Jesus says, if you don't understand this, you don't understand nothing. But I want us to stand as the body, and I want us to read the word that gives us that understanding. And it comes from Mark. We're continuing our walk through the Gospel of Mark. And today is from Mark 4, 10 through 13. And if we'll read the body, the parable of the farmer scattering seeds. So we'll read later when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples. And with the others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, "You are permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders, so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "If you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables?" What we're going to share today is that scripture, is that parable that unlocks your understanding to all the other parables. So let's start off. What is parable? Like, that's a great question. A parable in the Greek means to place two things side by side so that you can compare and you can understand. So, say for example, Jesus used a lot of examples, a lot of stories, parables, that are farm-based. They were an agrarian society. They were farming. And so you'll see sowing and reaping and planting and harvesting. Those are things that people in the day, that they related to. So what he does is he takes something physical, an example like farming, and then he lays it beside something spiritual, one of God's truths, so that we can examine it. So we can better understand it. Like today, I use a lot of parable examples, something physical from my law enforcement career or from triathlon or weightlifting. That's how I relate spiritual truths. But this is all that a parable is. It is a story, and that you're taking something physical that we're aware, that we can relate to, and then you put it next to something spiritual, a truth. And then when you get it, it's like, oh, I get it. So the question is, well, why did Jesus use parables? Well, Matthew 13 answers that question. His disciples came and asked him, "Why do you use parables when you talk to the people?" He, being Jesus, he replied, "You are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them." What I want to share with you is God's word is good enough. to be stewarded well. We want to hear from the Lord. The Lord has an expectation that we reverence that word, we honor that word, that we steward that word well. It's not like casual locker room conversation. You see, there's an old saying that I always like. It said, I can explain it to you, but I cannot understand it to you. Parables are the same thing. Jesus will speak them, but unless you have faith and are willing to hear, you'll never understand them. Some of the purposes of parables, they explain deep mysteries. Like, these are not casual locker room conversations. These aren't yesterday's sports scores. This is the word of the Lord. And it's worthy to understand. It's worthy to pursue. Parables, they provoke interest. I mean, can you think of, imagine back then, and they're farmers and they're fishermen, and here's Jesus, and he's talking about farming, sowing seeds. Oh, that's something I can connect to. Like, I don't know anything about Scripture. I don't know anything about this guy, Jesus, but he's talking my language. He's talking farming. Just like if we talk military or aerodynamics or music, whatever draws our attention, and that's what brings people in. That's what good stories do. They get people's attention. Parables were used to instruct his disciples, and they gave examples to God's people how they should behave as kingdom citizens. So we could say, well, wouldn't it have just been better to stop telling stories and riddles? Why not just talk straight? What I want to tell you is parables divide. You see, Jesus came to divide. This world will be like, no, no, let's coexist. All religions coexist. It's all the same sky, Daddy. Why can't we just all get along? I want to tell you, Jesus didn't come to coexist. Jesus didn't come to tolerate. Like the parables, Jesus came to divide. Luke 12 tells us, this is Jesus. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. The wheat from the chaff, sheep from the goats. You see, parables divide listeners into two groups. Jesus' disciples and everybody else. When I tell you guys, there's no in-between. There's no neutral ground. There's no time out in the kingdom. Jesus didn't come and create a neutral ground. He came to divide his from everybody else. And you get to make that choice. But I will tell you, without Jesus, even the wisest are confused. I'll give you an example, and I want you to read through this with me. This is Nicodemus. And this comes from John. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees, the great teachers, the scholars of the time, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night. By night, because he couldn't be seen in public with him, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs, and you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, you are the teacher of Israel. You are the teacher of Israel. And do not know these things. Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? I submit, unless you know Jesus the Christ, unless you submit and you have ears that are willing to hear, the most simple concepts of salvation, you're going to remain confused about. Like, this is Nicodemus, the teacher, the teacher of Israel. And he did not understand the most simple concept of salvation, of being born again. And it wasn't to condemn him, it was to convict him. You see, and this is the parable. So, okay, well, some of these parables can be complicated, and I don't know, I just don't get it sometimes. Well, Jesus says, hey, let me help you out. This parable unlocks all the other parables. If you get this, you're going to get them all. Mark 4, he said, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand? Like, the parable of the sower of the seeds is the parable of parables. It's the unlocking of all the rest of the parables. Like, once you get this, then you'll be able to get these. And I think maybe Elliot created a graph instead of reading through them. But you know, you look at these parables, and I just want to share the power of storytelling. Like, you look at this list, and I'm sure you probably are familiar with most of them, if not all of them. And you may not remember all the deep spiritual truths, but these stories have been embedded in your heart. They've been implanted in your heart. So when you see something like that pop up on a screen, you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that. You see, people remember stories. We don't really remember facts and data, but we remember stories. Even stories that maybe initially we don't understand, they pique our interest. And that's the power of the parable. So this is the parable for turning that key, for unlocking your understanding. And this is from Mark 4, 1-9. And it says, and this is Jesus, listen. Like, listen. Before we go past the exclamation point, let's park on the word listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell upon a footpath, and the birds quickly came and ate it. So I want to make sure we're understanding as we're listening. The farmer is you. The seed is the word of the Lord. The scattering is sharing the gospel. Let's make it super real, super applicable, okay? Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Like, how many people do we know who come to Christ? They've heard the word. They're like, I dig it. Thank you, Jesus. But they don't read the word. They don't renew their mind. They don't read the Bible. Their mind's not transformed. Their life's not transformed. And then they get a little bit of heat. Maybe their friends are like, you're not one of them people, are you? I saw you post something about Jesus on your social media. No, no, not me. Not me. Why? Because a little heat came and their roots weren't deep. Because that root has got to tap into the water of the living word of Christ. And the only way to get that is by growing your root, is by making sure that water of the living word is available through reading the word of the Lord, transforming your mind, renewing your mind. Other seed fell among thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Those thorns, that could be demonic attacks, that could be the world. That's anything that interferes between the soil, the seed, and the sun. The sun, and the S-O-N, sun. And they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop. One seed. You plant one seed, it has the potential to grow 30, 60, even 100 times as much as you planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What I will share with you is I asked you to park on listen, and then he ends with anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. What I want to tell you is to listen and to hear and understand is a function of the mind. He's not saying, I want y'all to get the feels in your heart. I want y'all to get the butterflies in your belly. This is a mind transformation. Why? Because the battle with devil is in your mind. Your mind is the battlefield. This is why Jesus is telling you, listen. listen and understand. This is not about emotion. Emotion are the ones that got in the shallow soil and sprouted and then lost attention. Because now they're not feeling all good. Now they're feeling bad. Maybe they went through something horrific. I'm sorry. And then they lost their way. Because, well, I don't feel no love from Jesus. No, what it is you're not, the world is dictating your emotions. It's purposeful and intentional that he starts off the parable that unlocks all the other parables. He starts it off with the word listen. Listening is a function of the mind. He ends it with understand is a function of the mind. Where's your battlefield with the devil? In your mind. In your mind. Look, feelings, emotions are amazing. But let them be secondary. Let them be the manifestation of your spiritual person. When you come to a spiritual revelation, like this week after fasting and praying, and the Lord gave that word, I had an emotional manifestation. But that emotion didn't drive that revelation. What I'm asking you is, no matter what you're going through, allow yourself to be spirit-led. Listen to the word. Hear and understand what the Lord's saying to you. If we're caught up with our boo-hoo head in a pillow, you're not going to hear nothing. Allow the Lord, the word of the Lord, to drive your life. That word transforms your mind. You know, Mark 4, 24, 25 tells us, and then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now we saw the parallel scripture in Matthew. God's word is good enough to listen to steward, to write down. Like, we've got to value God's word. And these parables, if we want to understand the parables, we've got to listen to the parables. We've got to understand the parables. And when we come into understanding, then God will lock more. God will give more. So many people are like, Lord, I need a word. Not that word. Give me another word. I don't like that word either. So then you get on your phone and you're like, hey, sister, give me a word. Well, that's different from what the Lord said, but I receive it. That's not how it works. That's not how truth works. That's how you tickle in little itchy ears. You see, Jesus is talking, he's teaching about the kingdom of God. And I submit, do you know where to find this kingdom? I will give you the answer, because God gave us the answer in Luke 17. It said, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. What I will tell you, when Jesus was sharing this truth, this was pre-crucifixion, resurrection, ascension, and the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and indwelled. When the Holy Spirit came and indwelled his body on the day of Pentecost, this is when the kingdom of God is found in you. You are the kingdom of God. Your body is the physical temple, but you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. The Holy Spirit is God. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You have God, the Trinity, living inside of you, because you are the local body of Christ. You are the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. Jesus is trying to teach you about yourself, about what lives and resides in you. You see, the sower parable, it teaches us about using other parables. What Jesus is telling us in this parable, the sower of the seed, is that there's hope as long as you have ears to hear. No matter what you've been through in your life, maybe it's been bankruptcy, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's loss through death, maybe it's a change of career, maybe you're still in the wilderness season. Like even if something traumatic has happened in your life, and maybe you found yourself separated, there's always hope as long as you have ears to hear, seeking God's voice. You know, in this parable, he tells us even hardened soil, hearts, can be turned over to good soil. There's always hope. You know, the sower, the one who believes and sows the gospel, we get to help soften the soil. And sometimes we get a little impatient. Well, my gosh, I told them about Jesus five times, and they still acting a fool. But you know, like Paul tells us, some plant, some water, only God brings the increase. So you keep sowing that seed. And from this parable, is Jesus encouraging you, if you sow the seed, share the gospel, and there's no growth, don't give up. There's always next season. What I want to share with you, I've shared it with some folks over the last couple weeks, is being consistent. Like, you don't know. If we think, well, I'm going to share the gospel with somebody, and they better respond. Listen, it's not up to you. It's not up to you. All you do is sow the seeds. I want to tell you that Peter, it took four different encounters with Jesus Christ before Peter accepted him as Lord and Savior. I will tell you that he was introduced to Jesus by his brother, and that didn't do it. Peter was with the disciples in the synagogue. When Jesus' first time sharing the gospel, a demon manifests, and Jesus casts him out. Didn't affect Peter. They, matter of fact, they left that church and went to his house where his mother-in-law was healed by who? Jesus. This brother got to hear the gospel. He got to see a demonic deliverance, and he got to see a physical healing. And guess what? Nada. Nada. What touched Peter? Luke 5 tells us. And when he had stopped speaking, talking about Jesus, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Romans 10:13 tells us what? For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I will submit to you four encounters with the living Christ before it struck Peter. Peter was a businessman. His boats, he had partners. Peter was into making money. And it was when Jesus affected his pocketbook, when he blessed him, that Peter fell down before him and declared that he was Lord. He confessed his sinful man, and he declared him Lord. I'm not telling you that it took like Peter's a greedy dude, but that's where it struck Peter. Sometimes it takes a physical healing to strike a match for Christ. Sometimes it takes a lot of different things. But you know what? It's not for us to determine what it takes and when it takes. It's just us to keep sowing that seed. Us to keep sowing that seed. I want to encourage you, sow the seed. Sow the seed. You see, that willingness to hear, it matters more than the condition of your heart at the time, because the word is what transforms. Romans 12:2 tells us this. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is why Jesus says, listen, exclamation point, hear and understand. Because the word is what transforms your mind. It's not a smoke machine. It's not laser light show. It's not a microphone strapped to your face. It is the word of the Lord. And if you're stepping anywhere beyond the simple word of the Lord, then you're stepping outside the will of God. What he's always teaching us also is, and sowing that seed 30, 60, 100 times harvest, he's talking about the Great Commission. This parable that unlocks all the other parables, 35% of everything Jesus taught was in parable form. And the very last thing he says before he leaves and ascends to heaven is grow the kingdom. Matthew 28 tells us, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. He is with us through the Holy Spirit. Scott Hobart has shared with me a couple years ago in the Complete Jewish Bible translation where it says, baptizing them in the name of, it reads, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You want to learn something? You want to learn language and culture and tradition? Immerse yourself in that culture. This is the reason for the parables. This is the reason that he gave the sower seed parable so that we can understand those other parables. So then we say, okay, I get it. But like, couldn't he have just spoke plain? I mean, like, couldn't he just speak plain Aramaic? I mean, like, come on, Jesus. Well, guess what? Mark 8, he did. Jesus predicts his death and resurrection. Mark 8 says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke these words openly. Then Peter, took him aside and began to rebuke him. And when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. So Jesus did. He just spoke, I'm just going to talk plain to you. There's still a misunderstanding because Peter and most of them are still thinking he's come to overthrow Rome. He's come to set up an earthly kingdom. This is where parables come into play. This is why parables are necessary. Because not everybody's going to understand the deep truths of the kingdom. Parables are there to unlock that. You know, Peter wasn't being demonic, but Peter had taken his eyes off the cross, and he unwittingly became a spokesman for Satan. I venture to say that probably most of us have had that experience. Maybe we've gossiped. Maybe we've rumored. Maybe we've inadvertently cursed somebody or something. Not looking to, well, I'm not satanic, but when you take your eyes off the cross, when you take your eyes off the mission of Jesus Christ, and you allow yourself to sit kind of in this stagnant water, this stew, This is where Satan starts to use you for his stream, not the king's stream. I want to tell you, keep your eyes on the cross. Listen, be willing to hear. So why did Jesus teach in stories? Well, first thing is to fulfill prophecy. Jesus is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. You know, Matthew 13 tells us in prophecies and parables, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. And without a parable, he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundations of the world. Like Jesus didn't come to unite. His body is to be united. But the world, Jesus came to divide. Jesus came with a sword. And you think, well, these parables are just little stories. But these stories have power. The word has power. Other reason, our answers aren't as important as we think. You know, we live in a world where we think information's power. And to a degree it is. But we want answers fast. Like we were talking the other day about the old Encyclopedia Britannicus. Most of us adults had those in our home. The idea now of getting an old dusty book and flipping through pages when you can Google. And you see, a lot of times they ask Jesus questions, but he avoided the answer. What did he do instead? He told them a story. And they walked away confused because they weren't listening, because they didn't have ears to hear. They had no faith and they didn't want to understand. You see, Jesus is more concerned with our heart than our head knowledge. The other reason he used is that stories stick. A good story sticks with you, even if you can't remember it immediately, or even if you heard it years later. And I wanted, when I asked Ellie to put up that graphic, or Ava, was those lists of parables. I know that wherever your faith walk is and your understanding, those things do strike a chord. There's some up there, you're like, oh, that's familiar. Those things were told over 2,000 years ago, and they're still familiar because stories stick. Stories inspire. People gravitate towards what inspires them. Inspiring stories change lives. They change lives. You mix that with the word that transforms, and then the story that inspires. And I would say Jesus was pretty skilled at this. Because 2,000 years later, we're still talking about him. Stories, parables, when I say stories, I'm talking about parables. They paint a picture of what could or should be. Like stories give us a goal. They give us a target to aim for. Like Jesus painted a picture of what life with him would look like. We can look at these stories, these parables, and we're like, well, that's confusing. And without Christ, it is. Without the Holy Spirit, they were meant to be. Just like Nicodemus. How can an old man be born again? What I want to share with you, what I want to encourage you, is pursue the word of the Lord. Pursue his voice.